Welcome to Leonard Legal Buzz from the law firm of Leonard Street & Dinard. Jackie's company is growing, and its staff has doubled from 10 to 20 employees in the last year. Jackie Googled her company's name to locate a recent article about its success. She located a link to the article, but also a link to the personal blog of one of the company's most valuable employees. The blog post, nestled among posts about vacations taken and movies seen, was titled The Bad Day, and relayed not only the stresses of the employee's personal life, but also complaints about the company's most demanding but also most important client and the work of the company's newest employees. Jackie knew that she needed to discipline, perhaps even fire, the employee. She pulled the company's employment manual from the drawer of her desk. The manual made clear that employment at the company was at will and that personal use of the internet with company resources or on company time was prohibited. It was unclear whether the blog post was prepared or posted using company resources or on company time. Jackie now wondered whether a more specific company policy could have provided greater guidance to her employees and have better positioned her for dealing with this problem. The situation just described is fictional, but employee use and misuse of the internet is a common occurrence inside and outside of today's workplace. There are ever-increasing opportunities for individuals to express themselves on the internet. In addition to traditional websites, there are currently millions of sites that provide for easy posting of content to the internet, such as weblogs or blogs, social networking sites such as Facebook and MySpace, wikis such as Wikipedia, and video-based formats such as YouTube. Web 2.0 is the term used to describe the internet's new user-friendly interactive functionality and the ways in which businesses are using it to reach and serve customers. Joining me to discuss how employers should respond to these new internet developments are Beth Papasek and Tom Corbett. Beth is a shareholder in Leonard Street & Dinard's Employment and Labor Practice Group. She's an expert in counseling clients on employment-related matters, and prior to her legal career, was a human resources professional. Tom is an associate in Leonard Street & Dinard's corporate department and the firm's IT/IP practice group, and is experienced in working with technology and e-commerce companies. Beth, let me start with you. Why is it important that a company have a Web 2.0 policy?
Well, first, let me set some parameters for our discussion. There are a plethora of issues around Web 2.0. However, we are going to focus on several important reasons for having a Web 2.0 policy and provide some guidance on how to create such a policy. Note also that we are going to focus on the issues private sector employers are most likely to face. Therefore, the First Amendment concerns that would arise in the public sector employment context will not be covered. So while much of what we are going to talk about seems like common sense, it is important for employers to communicate to their employees the parameters and expectations for Web 2.0 use in the workplace and related to the workplace. Having such a policy and making sure that other important policies in the workplace are sensitive to Web 2.0 issues will also help to protect the company's business interests, including such things as the company's goodwill and public image by restricting the posting of information that may discredit or embarrass the company, addressing issues around confidential information, trade secrets, and other intellectual property. Protecting important relationships in ways such as preventing employees from posting damaging or confidential information regarding customers or business partners or even current and former employees. And this would include touching on anti-harassment and privacy provisions. There are also protections a company may seek in legal compliance. For instance, the policy can address and alert employees to the fact that there may be blackout periods connected with securities laws and SEC regulations. Also, issues around advertising of the company's products and services and information that might be put on the web in that respect. In general, having a Web 2.0 policy will put employees, competitors, and the general public on notice that the company is serious about protecting its business interests.
Tom, what if an employer already has an employee policy regarding email and use of the internet in place? Wouldn't Web 2.0 concerns be covered by that policy?
Many of the same general rules will apply, but a company's email and internet use policy may date to the late 1990s when the internet was far less interactive and geared more towards passive internet use. Also, many of the policies from that time may address only what employees do on company time or with company resources, and they may not address recent concerns that have arisen with new regulations concerning privacy breaches and data security laws. There's also a greater risk with Web 2.0. In the past, an employee's misuse of email might have resulted in an email being forwarded to email address lists, where now an employee's misuse of the internet results in content that can be posted and viewed by anyone in the world. The new internet functionality may require increased specificity, especially for employees who grew up having a personal blog or website, or for more experienced employees who are integrating Web 2.0 functionality into their careers and lives outside of work. It's now estimated that approximately 5% of the U.S. workforce maintains blogs, and that percentage is likely to grow.
So what prevents an employer from making a policy that merely states an employee may not post content about the employer to the internet?
There are both legal and practical considerations to take into account before making a blanket restriction on internet posting. From a legal standpoint, employers are limited from restricting or from punishing employees for engaging in certain protected activity. Now, this is all about information, and certain types of information have legal protection. For instance, the National Labor Relations Act provides employees the right to engage in protected, concerted activity, which may include discussing the terms and conditions of employment with coworkers and perhaps non-employees. So a blanket prohibition against such communications may violate the NLRA. Keep in mind that the NLRA does apply to employers who do not currently have a unionized workplace. From an enforcement standpoint, another issue may arise where an employee's whistleblowing activity on the web may be protected.
Even if there weren't legal restrictions on making and enforcing that type of blackout policy, there are good business reasons for not going that route. Web 2.0 is about the internet's new functionality, and it's also about how employees are using that functionality to support their businesses. If Web 1.0 was about establishing an internet presence with a website, Web 2.0 is about looking for new ways to make those websites more interactive and to allow employees to use the internet in more dynamic ways to support the business, for example, by online professional networking or making posts to industry-related blogs or forums. An employer that seeks to prohibit employees from posting any content about the employer on the internet would miss out on those opportunities.
Really, a Web 2.0 policy needs to be tailored to the specific employer and needs to be consistent with other workplace policies. Many companies have their own blogs or encourage employees to participate in workplace blogs, and certain companies and certain industries may benefit most from a policy that provides guidelines for employees who, as part of their job duties, have direct authority to post content to the internet about the company and to engage in blogging activities. Other companies may want to screen content for authorization prior to posting. What we would encourage employers to do is to focus on the legal and practical implications of Web 2.0 use by employees and focus on how to manage that use in a proactive way.
What are some of the key provisions that a Web 2.0 policy should include in most, if not all, cases?
Well, with the caveat that the policy needs to be tailored to the employer's specific needs and that the employer should seek counsel in preparing the policy, there are some general principles that would apply in most, if not all, Web 2.0 policies. First would be the policy should set up parameters on acceptable personal use of the internet and company systems. Given that most employers expect employees to use the internet for personal use maybe in a limited capacity while they're at work, so it might not make sense to ban personal use of the internet at the workplace altogether, but rather to provide guidelines on what minimal use of the internet is acceptable at the workplace. Second, the policy could state broad prohibitions on conduct that is objectionable and that would violate the company's anti-harassment, anti-discrimination, non-disclosure, or general business conduct or ethics policies. The Web 2.0 policy should incorporate those policies by reference as appropriate and remind employees that they need to comply with copyright, fair use, financial disclosure, and other applicable laws. One important requirement for any Web 2.0 policy is to make clear that employees are responsible for the content they post to the internet, unless the employee has received specific authorization for making that posting. And with respect to anonymous postings or those made under a screen name, the policy should make clear that employees are responsible for that content as well. And also note that the employer has a number of ways to trace anonymous posts back to their authors. To the extent employees make unauthorized posts to the internet about the employer, those posts should include a prominent disclaimer stating that the statements are solely those of the employee and not those of the employer. If the employer maintains an official company website or page, the Web 2.0 policy should state that prior approval is required before any content is uploaded to that site or webpage.
It's important that the policy state that the employee has no reasonable expectation of privacy in any internet content posted via the employer's technology, including computers, IT systems, PDA, cell phones, etc. also making a clear statement that the technology provided by the company is the employer's property and that the employer maintains and will exercise the right not only to inspect the hardware and systems, but to confiscate them or limit use. The policy should also state that the employee's obligation to comply with the policy does not end when he or she walks out the door of the workplace, that the policy applies to posts made on the employee's time, posts made via technology not owned by the employer, and to former employees as well. Now, while most employers are careful about crossing the boundary between work and home time, hearkening back to Jackie's situation, it's important that the policy address situations where activities outside of work impact job performance or the company's business interests. Employees should have a point of contact for any questions about the policy or to report any possible violations. The policy should be circulated to all employees, and the employee should be required to sign an acknowledgement of receipt. The employer should also provide the policy to all new employees at the time of hire. One important and overlooked aspect is the training and education into the policy. Employees should be taught to use good judgment, to be respectful, to take ownership of what they post online, and to consider their roles with the company and how their statements may be construed, and also not to let their online activities interfere with their job performance.
The Web 2.0 policy should include monitoring and enforcement provisions with consequences for violations of the policy. And regardless of the exact details of the Web 2.0 policy, it needs to be enforced consistently and fairly.
Let's talk a bit more about that. What can a company do to make sure its Web 2.0 policy is enforced correctly? Are there limitations on an employer's ability to monitor internet use and employee postings and enforce a Web 2.0 policy?
The enforcement of the Web 2.0 policy needs to be taken into account when the policy is being prepared. A company should involve its chief information officer and IT managers in the process of preparing the policy so that they understand the technology that they have and the capabilities for enforcing the policy. A growing number of employers are monitoring the internet to determine not only what employees are doing on the internet, but specifically what is being written or posted about the employer on the internet. Employers need to make decisions early on regarding the resources they want to devote toward policing the Web 2.0 policy.
It is important that employees take the employer's monitoring and enforcement action seriously, but there are limits as to how far a company can go in enforcing the policy. If a company discovers unfavorable posts that it would like to take action on, it should consult legal counsel. In addition to the possible protections under the NLRA for employees' communications regarding terms and conditions of employment, employees may also have privacy rights under common law and the statutes in certain states. Federal and state whistleblower protections may protect employee postings that constitute whistleblowing, and some states protect employees for their lawful conduct outside of the workplace. As noted at the outset, public sector employees may also need to consider constitutional issues. It will, of course, be important to determine whether the posting at issue violates any of the employer's policies, including not only the Web 2.0 policy, but also policies regarding anti-harassment, confidentiality, or use of company property such as trademarks or logos, or any separate agreements as to confidentiality or other protected issues. These additional factors may influence the level of disciplinary action taken.
In summary, what are the most important things employers should bear in mind when creating a Web 2.0 policy?
The employer should keep in mind that the Web 2.0 policy really needs to be customized to their business needs. There are no boilerplate or off-the-shelf Web 2.0 policies that would address every employer's concerns, so they need to be tailored to what that specific employer is doing with the internet and what their employees are doing to promote their business via the internet. Secondly, I would say that the employer should contact counsel to assist in drafting the Web 2.0 policy. The goals of a Web 2.0 policy are much like the goals of any other employment policy. It needs to be clear, it needs to be clearly communicated to employees, it needs to be consistently implemented and enforced, it needs to be updated accordingly to keep pace with changing business needs and technology changes.
The availability of Web 2.0 functionalities presents new legal and business challenges and opportunities for employers. The bottom line is that employees will generally have access to these internet tools and will be using them. Like so many issues employers face in the workplace, developing and administering a workable Web 2.0 policy is a matter of finding balance between employer and employee interests. In reaching this balance, employers need to recognize the benefits of Web 2.0 and the expectation of employees that they will have access to this technology while still maintaining an efficient and secure workplace. And to be prepared, because this area will be forever changing and evolving.
Beth, Tom, you've certainly given our listeners a lot to consider. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you to our listeners for joining us. If you'd like to learn more about employment issues related to Web 2.0, we invite you to contact us at 612-335-1500 or visit us online at www.leonard.com. Leonard Street & Dinard is among Minnesota's largest law firms, with offices in Minneapolis, St. Cloud, and Mankato, Minnesota, and in Washington, D.C. From its regional base, Leonard Street & Dinard serves clients throughout the United States and internationally. The firm employs nearly 200 attorneys in more than 40 practice areas, and since its founding in 1922, has helped generations of clients achieve their business objectives through astute legal advice complemented by good common sense. To learn more, visit Leonard Street & Dinard's website at www.leonard.com. This podcast is provided by the law firm of Leonard Street & Dinard as a service to clients and the general public. The information contained in this recording is neither designed nor intended to be relied upon as specific legal advice to any individual or organization. Listeners should always consult with their attorney about specific legal matters.